This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. You've heard of the Great Firewall of China, a sort of a semi-joking term for the barrier set up to prevent full internet access within mainland China. But on the other side of that firewall, there is a second layer of restriction on the flow of information. Teams of internet sensors that selectively prune the web, removing potentially inflammatory posts. With the recent protests in Hong Kong, we wonder what those sensors were actually blocking. What are they looking for? What kind of posts get stripped from the Chinese web? And how many sensors do you need for the billions of people in China? Joining me now is Gary King. He's the Alfred J. Weatherhead III University Professor in the Department of Government and Director of the Institute for Quantitative Social Science at Harvard in Cambridge. He's also co-author of a recent paper in the journal Science, in which his team tried to reverse engineer how the censorship process in China works. He joins me from campus there. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about, before the technique, let's talk about what the goal of the censorship is. Is it to make a rosier view?
It turns out it is. That's not the case. In fact, it's not at all what anybody, including us, thought. My awesome graduate students and I, Molly Roberts, Jen Pan, and I, when we analyzed this, we thought what everybody else thought, which was that they would prune any criticism of the state, the policies, or the leaders. And it turns out that's completely false. You can say the most vitriolic things you want about the leaders of China and not be censored. I mean, you can say the leaders of this town are stealing money. Here's how much they're stealing. They all have mistresses. Here's their names. But if you say, let's also go protest, that will be censored.
Oh, so a call to action.
Any call to action. In fact, if you say the leaders of this town are doing such a great job, let's go have a rally in their favor, that will also be censored. They don't care what you say. They only care what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Is that what's happening with the censorship coming to and from Hong Kong? Are things being selectively censored with the same rules?
Well, they treat Hong Kong in almost every way differently than they do mainland China. They're mostly concerned about their own prerogatives. Like the leaders of most countries, their main goal seems to be to stay in office. And Hong Kong is a separate, two states, one country, different policies. They treat it differently. They treat censorship there differently. Collective action in Hong Kong, which we've looked into before the current incidents, they allowed discussion of it, as long as it doesn't happen in mainland China.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about how you discovered how the censorship works in the firewall there. What did you do?
So it's pretty interesting. We originally set out to study something completely different. We had no intention of studying China at all. We didn't have any intention of studying censorship. What we were interested in studying was automated text analysis, believe it or not. There are approximately a billion social media posts every 2 days, and it's easy for any one of your listeners to write something, and at least potentially billions of other people could read it. However, it's not possible for anybody out there to understand what billions of other people are saying. So we were developing these methods, technical methods, to try to understand what millions and millions of people were saying. And so we developed these methods, and we thought, let's find some way of stress testing them, of pushing them until they break, and so that we could learn how to improve them. And so we thought, oh, let's try it in a language for which we didn't develop the techniques. We developed the techniques in English. Let's try it in Chinese. Chinese obviously works very differently. So what we did is we called Crimson Hexagon, which is a local social media company that commercialized some of the technology that we had come up with previously. And they sent us over a database of social media posts in Chinese that had the post and the URL. And we analyzed the data. We analyzed it to see whether we could do as well in Chinese as we did in English. And we improved the methods. And we were about to write up this article that we were really excited about, but I don't think you would have invited me here to talk about.
You got that right.
That's right. And so Molly and Jen and I were sitting in my office, and one of us said, you know, let's go back to the website from which these posts came. Let's click on the URL that Crimson Hexagon sent us, and let's see what post comes up. Let's just make sure that when Crimson goes out to the website, that they pull the ad, they pull the post, not the ads, for example. And we just sort of make sure we understand the context in which they appear. And they came back to my office after trying this, as it happens, both of my my students speak Chinese, and they said, you know, there must be something wrong with the data we're getting from Crimson Hexagon, because sometimes we click on the post and it goes back to the original post, and other times when we click on the URL, that is, it goes nowhere, and still other times you click on it and it says something about being investigated. And then we realized we had all social media posts that appeared on the web at any time in China, including those that were censored. We had the whole corpus of censored Chinese language social media posts that the Chinese people couldn't read, but we could. And we thought, let's forget that paper that Ira wouldn't care about and write the one about Chinese censorship.
And now and to test it all out, you actually created your own social media site in China, and you ran it, and you censored things?
Yeah, so we did a number of different things. We did an observational study, we did an experimental study, and then we did, as you're describing, our participatory study. So in order to figure out what kind of experiment to run and what to observe, and we had to figure out how censorship worked. And how do you do it? Well, you have to go do basically journalism. And as you may know about journalism, it's not always so easy. You have to ask people to step out of their lives and give you some time for whatever reason you feel like. And it's very difficult. Moreover, if you actually try to interview censors, well, their job is to limit the flow of information. And we're asking them to provide us information. So we needed some way to change our incentives, to change the incentives of our sources. So what we did is, as you said, we created our own social media website. So how did that change our incentive sources? Well, so here's what happened. China is a communist country, but it's also a capitalist country. So that means we could buy a URL. We could we could rent server space. We could, and we did, contract with some of the firms that sell software to install on the servers to set up a social media site. We installed it ourselves. We ran it. We had the whole machine we were trying to reverse engineer, so we had the documentation of this machine. We could try all the different kinds of censorship that were allowed, and then, to get to the incentives part, if we had any questions, we literally could call customer service. And you know what? They were pretty good at their job. We would ask them questions like, so how do we stay out of trouble with the Chinese government? How does censorship work? What are we supposed to do? And their job was to help us.
They would give you hints on how to be a good censor.
Exactly. And they tell us exactly
how to be the best. So you learn then by asking the people who are your sort of your tech info people, how do we do this well? And you learn how the censorship works. Are there literally millions of people sitting at laptops or screens who are watching all the internet traffic and censoring it?
We don't really know how many there are. There may be 100 or 200,000 of them. They exist within governments at different levels, and they also exist within the social media firms. So if you create our social media firm, by the way, we didn't allow the Chinese people to post because then we would have to be in the position of being censored.
Right.
I would post, my graduate students would censor me, and so, you know, I'd censor them back, and we would learn how it would work that way. But the actual censors, they work within social media companies. The government requires the companies to find some way of pruning the web of things that they don't want. Discussion of collective action and two other categories we could talk about in a minute.
Let's talk about now. What are the two other categories?
Okay, so there's two other categories. One is sort of obvious. The other surprising. So one is pornography. So not a surprise. Every government censors pornography to some degree. The United States government certainly requires Facebook and Twitter to censor child pornography. We don't think of that as censorship. We think of that as it's illegal. Of course, that's how the Chinese government describes things that they don't want on the web. But in any event, that's the first of the two smaller categories. The second of the smaller category is pretty weird. You're allowed to criticize anybody in China except the censors. So it turns out if you criticize the censors, just the people who run the censorship program, you will be censored. So if you think about the list of all the inappropriate things in the world, I think this is a pretty weird one.
Well, in the U.S., we've got a few main social media sites. You have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Many of those are blocked in China, right? Does China have its own social media landscape?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the social media websites that your Western listeners will have heard of are get stopped at the Great Firewall. The Great Firewall basically just keeps out U.S. companies and other Western companies. But inside China, as you mentioned in the intro, there are lots of social media companies. In fact, in the U.S., there's a small number of large social media companies. In China, there are large social media companies, but there's also a very long tail of smaller social media companies. We found almost 1,400 different social media companies.
Right, and you were one of them at one point.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We were one of them, right?
I mean, are there any trigger words, or is there any profiling done of people that they know? Oh, well, this is a troublemaker.
So let's do, you just asked two questions, actually, trigger words and troublemakers. They certainly go after people they think are troublemakers. They not only censor them, they cut off their access, they go arrest them, they put them in jail, they do all kinds of things that that we were not studying in this study. But you also mentioned keywords. So they remove things from the web, it turns out, in two ways. One way is they literally sit and read posts and decide which posts which appear on the web they should take down. A second way they censor is that they have an automated review. So if you use certain keywords, the post won't actually appear on the web. It will just automatically be filtered into a sort of purgatory. And then the censors, instead of reading the posts and deciding whether to take them off the web, mm-hmm. they read the submissions and decide whether to put them up on the web. Mm-hmm. So that's the automated review process. It's keyword matching. The really interesting thing about that is that process, that automated keyword process, is wholly ineffective. It does not work. And the reason why is, if you give me, if I took any one of the sentences you've said in our discussion today, and I picked a word from that, and I said, could you express the same thought without using that word, I think you wouldn't have any problem at all.
Huh.
So in China, it's no problem. So for example, if you draw a square and you put a plus in it, and you put a little accent mark on the top, that's one of the characters in the word freedom. If you erase the little tick mark or accent on the top, and there's another character also, it means I field, which has no content at all, just an mm-hmm. I in a field. Mm-hmm. And so people in China will say, I think there needs to be more I fields in China. And then that won't get caught by the automated review process. So it gets past that, even though 64% of the social media sites use automated review, it's completely ineffective.
Huh. We have a tweet coming from Daniel Yount who says, what was the most censored item in China since you had all the data?
Well, the most censored is definitely anything about collective action. I mean, we've been watching for a long time now, or for several years now, and any kind of attempt at a rally or a protest or for the government, against the government, it doesn't really matter. They'll just take it down right away.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI. Talking about censorship with Gary King. So where can you go with this research? What would you like to know that you don't know now? And should we expect to see more clandestine sites going up that you're going to be?
So this is one of these subjects that it's difficult to make the research proposal before you actually do the research, because then it may be difficult to actually continue to do the research. But we're definitely having a peek into some other things that are going on, into some other places that where there is censorship. There's lots of interesting things about it. So mm-hmm. just in China alone, let's say so the automated review process I just mentioned was not effective, right? But still, things go off the web for a while before the people read it and correct what the automated process.
How quickly do they get pulled off the web?
They get pulled off. The automated ones get pulled off within instantly. When they read it, it gets pulled off within an hour or two, usually within 24 hours. One of the things we did is we developed new methods to be able to follow the conversation as people would morph the conversation. Even in Hong Kong, they're talking about the umbrella revolution, right? I mean, you wouldn't have known that word ahead of time. You have to sort of automatically discover it. So that's back to the paper that you weren't going to let me talk about.
Yeah. So you got to try to figure out how that stuff works then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The Chinese, by the way, are not remotely embarrassed about censorship. They think it's an important thing to keep the country from going into chaos. When you click on a site that's that is censored, it'll say something like one thing it says is, sorry, the page you're looking for does not exist, has been deleted, or, if that's not clear enough, is being investigated. And in fact, they have these little cartoon characters, Jing Jing and Cha Cha, which are internet police, and it's very clear they'll just put them in all different places just to remind you where they are, what they're doing, and what you might be writing and how it might affect them.
So it sounds like that they have a lot of latitude. They have sort of it's subjective on the part of the individual censor, and if they need some guidance, they just call up Censor Central and get some hints on what to do.
Well, it's not entirely clear how much discretion the individual censors have. I wouldn't want to be an individual censor who is not following the directives of those above. We wouldn't know exactly what would happen to them. The interesting thing is the censors we have talked to, they're not entirely clear on what the big picture is. They seem to do these things. They follow directions. But, you know, we have these results that are very clear. We analyze this by observing, by creating our own site, and by running our own experiment where we created 200 accounts all over China, and we wrote 1,200 Chinese language social media posts, and we took those and randomly assigned them to being in favor of the government or opposed to the government, or to promote collective action or to not promote collective action, and we got to see what would happen even if it was automatically taken right off the web. But the censors themselves don't see the big picture. For us, we've seen the big picture, and it's very, very clear with every method that we've applied. It's very clear they don't censor criticism. They do censor collective action. And basically, the Chinese people are individually free and collectively in chains, at least with respect to their speech. But the censors, if you talk to them and you ask them, well, what are the rules? You never really know what they're telling you, whether they're telling you the truth or whether they understand things. But they don't seem to see the big picture.
All right. Thank you, Dr. King, for taking time to be with us. Very informative. We'll be paying attention. Paying more attention now.
Gary, well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Gary King is professor in the Department of Government and director of the Institute for Quantitative Social Science at Harvard University in Cambridge.